Well, greetings, radio friends, and welcome to another broadcast of this Christ-honoring program called The Voice of the Gospel. And how thankful I am today for the fact that there is a gospel to preach. Yes, it's the story of redeeming love as expressed in the death of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. And I also thank God today that I was saved by the grace of God back on June the 2nd of 1952. Yes, that was the day in my life's experience when, as a lost, guilty, and hell-bound sinner, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. Tell me, radio friend, can you look back to a time in your life when, after having been convicted of your sin before God, you trusted His Son as your Savior? And can you honestly say before God today that if you were to die right now, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your soul would immediately go to heaven? Can you, friend? Well, I'm not your judge, and only God knows your spiritual condition, but I must tell you, friend, that if there has never been a time when, a place where, and a manner how you were born again into the family of God, then you are even now under the condemnational wrath of a holy God. The Lord Jesus Christ told the religious leader named Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So tell me, friend, have you ever been born again? Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then it's obvious you've never been born again. On the other hand, if you believe that you've been born again through baptism, church membership, trying to do the best you can, and so on, you too are misguided and only a heartbeat from hell. Friends, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, we read that we are born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, you are born again by believing what the Word of God says about you as a sinner, and what the same Word of God says about Jesus Christ, God's Son, being your Savior and Lord. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to our first hymn, and it's entitled, I Love to Tell the Story.
Here's a thought I'd like to share with you. Wouldst have a friend, wouldst know what friend is best? Have God thy friend, who passeth all the rest. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell
to tell the story.
Thank God today for the wonderful story of redeeming love. Yes, the story of how Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven, was born of the virgin called Mary, and lived a sinless life while here upon the scenes of earth. And I thank God that at the end of that life that he lived here on earth, he died on the old rugged cross. Yes, he was the just one, dying for you and I, the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. And I thank God today that he's no longer on the cross, nor is he in the tomb, but he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Yes, there's one in heaven today who bears the mark of sin, the marks of Calvary, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, friends, today, those of you who have your Bibles handy and would care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be reading four portions of the Word of God. The first is found in the book of Deuteronomy. That's in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, and we'll read together verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Here's what God says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, the second scripture is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and we'll read together verse 20. Luke 12 and verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The third scripture, again in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And now for our fourth and final scripture in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 11. Revelation 14 and verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night. And the Lord will add to the reading of his word his blessing. Now, friends, here in the four scriptures we read together today, we have brought before us four things relative to the element called time. Yes, four verses pertaining to this day, this night, tomorrow, and forever. And today, I'd like to know the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in bringing before the unsaved listener some significant truths behind these elements of time and eternity. And to do so, I trust that I can have the undivided attention of each and every one of you who are tuned this way today. Now, in our first scripture, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, God declares that he is setting before the sinner this day, a choice. He says it's either life or death, blessing or cursing, good or evil. And sinner friends, only you can make this choice. And whether you realize it or not, this day, either actively or passively, you are making a choice. Some of you have heard the gospel many, many times. You've been basking in the sunlight of God's grace for many years. You've enjoyed the manifold blessings of God in good health as well as temporal wealth. You've been awakened to your lost spiritual condition by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. Yet you're still unsaved. You're still a stranger to grace and to God. In fact, you're without Christ, without hope, and without God in the world. But thank God this is still the day of salvation, because in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 we read, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yes, my friends, this is a day of decision for each and every one of you listening in. And I firmly believe that God has caused you to listen to this program today, and perhaps it's for the last time. In Joshua 24 and verse 15 we read, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." Friends, some of you have been serving the enemy of your soul, the devil, for many, many years. Yes, the devil has deluded you into believing that your so-called good works and religious rituals will gain you entrance into God's heaven. Perhaps some of you have been told by the devil or his emissary, your preacher or priest, that you can be saved from hell by trying to keep the Ten Commandments or the Golden Rule. Listen, sinner friend. The devil has been a liar since the Garden of Eden, and Jesus Christ himself calls the devil the father of lies. So please don't be deluded, my friend, by the enemy of your soul. You give heed to the word of God, because it's impossible for God to lie. And God says in Titus 3 and 5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy that he saves us. Again, we read in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works." Did you hear that, friend? Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now that's the word of God, friends. So you're the one who must make the choice this day. And as you do so, I trust you'll heed God's word that we read of over in Hebrews 4 and 7 when he says, Today, if ye will hear God's voice, harden not your heart. And may God give you the faith to accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as your own and personal Savior this day. Now our second scripture diverts our attention from this day to this night. Here's what we read in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. God is speaking, my friend, to a rich farmer who is making his plans for bigger barns and a life of ease. And here's what God says. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Sinner friend, you who have no intention of choosing Jesus Christ this day, what if God should say to you, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee"? What would it mean to you, my friend? Would it be absent from the body and present with the Lord in heaven? Or would it mean eternal separation from God and all that that entails? Well, you know, it could happen. Yes, the God of heaven may be offering you salvation this day, and if you reject Jesus Christ, his Son, as your Savior this day, then this night thy soul may be required of thee. Oh, how sad that would be. Today you're enjoying perhaps good health and strength, and yet in a matter of hours or less, you could be down in hell, weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. Yes, this night, thy soul could very well be spending its first moments in the place that Jesus Christ called hell. Now friends, this is a very serious matter, and I trust that the Holy Spirit of God will impress these eternal verities indelibly upon your heart and soul today. You know, a lot of preachers don't believe in bringing before their congregations the certainty of death and the subsequent judgment. But friends, I make no apology for the Word of God, which emphatically states, and very clearly too, in Hebrews 9 and 27, that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. Again, we read in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 14, "Behold, thy days approach when thou must die." So you see, friends, since the wages of sin is death, and we're all sinners, then I must, in faithfulness to the word of God and in love for your soul, remind you that there's a terrible judgment awaiting anyone and everyone whose sins have never been washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sinner friend, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, still cleanseth from all sin. And I know today that if my soul should be required of me tonight, I'd leave this sin-filled earthly scene below and my soul would enter into God's heaven, where I'd see my blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face. And you know, friends, there's a yearning within my heart to go home, to see the one who loved me unto death, even the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary's cross. Yes, for many reasons known but to God and me, death will be a welcome relief. It will mean no more heartache, no more tears, no more pain, no more anxiety and apprehension, and above all, no more sin. And I know that there are many Christians listening in today who would say the same thing, just as John did back there in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Now thus far, we've discussed this day and this night. Now let's look at our third scripture, Proverbs 27 and verse 1. There we read, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Friends, here we read something about tomorrow, and we're told very clearly that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We're not to boast about it. In other words, we have no assurance whatsoever that our eyes will ever see the light of another day. Quite often we say we're going to do this or do that, or we're going to go here or there tomorrow. But we must admit that we can only assume or hope to be alive tomorrow. And this is especially true when it comes to the salvation of the soul. You know, a lot of people who have been convicted of their sinnership in God's sight and who realize that they must be saved or born again in order to reach heaven, they begin to procrastinate. They say within themselves, well, I'll wait for a few years before I get saved, or I'll trust Christ on my deathbed. Or like so many young people today who say, I'm young yet. I want to live a little and enjoy life. Then when I've had my fill of the world's pleasures, then I'll consider salvation. Then I'll start living for God just before I die, or when I'm too old to enjoy the sins of the world. And still others might say, I'll get saved as soon as I can stop smoking or drinking. After all, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, listen, sinner friend, you're boasting of tomorrow. Yes, you're boasting of tomorrow. The devil, the enemy of your soul, has you believing that you have plenty of time to get saved. Yes, the devil will use every diabolical trick he knows in order to keep you from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the devil can't convince you that there's no God, and that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God who died for your sin, and if he can't convince you that you shouldn't get saved, then he immediately goes to his most powerful weapon. He'll tell you that there is a God, and that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died on the cross for your sin. He'll tell you that you should get saved by trusting God's Son, but not today. Wait till tomorrow. It's always tomorrow with the devil. He knows that if he can have you postpone your decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then he has gained the victory, and he'll soon have your soul down in hell. Listen, sinner friend. Our text says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Why, this time tomorrow, your body could be cold in death, and your soul in the flames of hell. Friends, all through the Bible, the Word of God, the invitation to accept God's salvation is a present invitation. In Isaiah 1 and 18 we read, come now, not tomorrow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In Job 22 and verse 21 we read, acquaint now thyself with God, and be at peace. And over in Acts 17 and verse 30 we're told, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Yes, sinner friend, God continually brings before the unsaved their need for being born again now, not tomorrow. Now by being born again, we simply mean to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. You're to receive him as your Lord and Savior by simple childlike faith. Now before I go to the final scripture text for today, I want each unredeemed sinner to listen to the solemn warning given by God back in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Listen to this. You who have been spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God and who are continually putting off your decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to what God says in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me repeat that. This is Proverbs 29 and 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now then, so far we've discussed the three elements of time, this day, this night, and tomorrow. But let's go beyond the realm of time and sense, and let's go off into the vast eternity that lies ahead. Our final scripture, Revelation 14 and verse 11, tells us that for those who die unsaved and go down to hell, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Friends, this isn't a nice thought, I'll agree. But the Word of God clearly and repeatedly tells us that once a sinner passes out of time into eternity, his soul's eternal destiny is decided. And it's either heaven for the saved or hell for the lost. And there's no middle ground in between. No, my friend, you'll never read the word purgatory in any Bible on the face of the earth. It's either the glories of heaven or else it's the flames of hell. And it's forever and forever and forever. Friend, eternity will never end. And a million years from now, there will still be as much left of eternity as there is now. But friend, there's no need for spending eternity in hell because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has provided the means of your entering into God's heaven for eternity. In John 3 and 16, Jesus Christ himself declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, the Word of God makes it clear that you'll be the recipient of everlasting life. In John 10 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." So friend, why not come to the Lord Jesus Christ right now? He gives the assurance in Matthew 11 and 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in John 6 and 37, he promises, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." In closing, sinner friend, I quote for you the Word of God as we find it in Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. So that's it, friends. Eternal life is being offered unto you on the basis of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you'll acknowledge your sinful condition before God, if you'll repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now, friend, the Word of God, which cannot lie, says you'll be saved. You'll be born again. You'll become a child of God. Yes, you'll be saved for time, and thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence to thank thee again for thy beloved Son. We thank thee for his condescending grace that brought him from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sins. And our God, we thank thee that he now sits at thy right hand, our great high priest, our advocate, our intercessor. Lord, the only mediator we have between us and thee today is the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. Now, Father, we've sought with the help of the Spirit of God today to exalt him. And we pray, our God, that even now there may be those out in radio land trusting Jesus Christ, thy Son, as their Savior and their Lord. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Friends, I hope there's no one listening in today who's going to be like King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. Here's what he says in verse 28. Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Friend, to be almost saved is to be completely and eternally lost. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And McKeesport is spelled capital M-C, capital K-E-E-S-P-O-R-T. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.